Thanks, John. Our next presenter is Dr. Deborah McFarland, and she's a professor of political science at the University of New Mexico. She has worked in reproductive health for more than three decades as a researcher, administrator, and consultant. She's past chair of the Population, Family Planning, and Reproductive Health section of APHA and was a board member of the National Family Planning and Reproductive Health Association. And I actually talked to Deborah the first time, I think it was about 15 years ago, on a weekend afternoon, because she was doing research on the family planning component of the Title V program. And we were both totally surprised that somebody answered the phone at the other end and actually talked on a weekend, which, of course, is what a lot of family planning people do to catch up on their work.
Okay, this is a joint effort between three of us, and I'd like to acknowledge Sunny Berg, if you can just raise your hand or something, who is also an author on this paper. I want to start by setting abstinence-only funding in context, or what's happening with abstinence-only funding. Obviously, with its superior taxing authority, the federal government is an important source of revenue for the American states. A quarter of all state expenditures come from the federal coffers, and these intergovernmental transfers are made through various grant mechanisms, and they support a wide range of activities from Medicaid to highway construction. And in most policy areas, states compete with each other for federal funds. And the idea is for states to maximize their share of federal funds. Our study, however, addresses the unusual case of states rejecting federal dollars. And at this point in time, half of the American states either are or will be rejecting at least some of their federal funds for abstinence-only education. And before moving into our specific analysis, I'd like to outline the contours of publicly funded abstinence-only education in the American states. Some of this is repetitious. We'll duplicate John's. It's just got some slightly different years, or the next slide will. The Adolescent Family Life Act from the Reagan period, which was a small grant, but as John said, provided a basis for getting the federal government to fund abstinence education. The Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act, or this series of six letters, PRWORA, or TANF, the so-called Welfare Reform Act of 1996, and the newest version, the Community-Based Abstinence Education Act, which provides categorical funding to agencies within the states, which came to be in the early George W. Bush years. And we also have special earmarks, which have become somewhat of an art form for the state of Pennsylvania. That's a paper in and of itself. Okay, over the last decade, the federal government alone has contributed nearly $1.75 billion to abstinence-only education, and the states have provided nearly $500 million in matching funds. And again, note that this slide doesn't include special earmarks. Our study focuses upon welfare reform, or TANF, or PRWORA, the Section 510 that funds state abstinence program. This program provides an allotment of $50 million a year to the states for abstinence-only education. When this program began, only one state, California, refused to participate, but over time, more states have declined this funding. And among the states, the momentum to reject these funds is all the more remarkable when you consider that block grant funding is the favorite grant mechanisms of most state governors. Okay, we looked at the trend. Since 2004, other states besides California have been turning down these funds, and recently this trend has gained momentum. Pennsylvania and New York turned down these funds first in 2004 and 2005. Maine rejected the funding in 2006. Connecticut decided not to apply for the funds. The following year, 9 more states, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Montana, New Jersey, Ohio, Rhode Island, Vermont, Wisconsin, and Wyoming followed suit. And for fiscal 2008, another 6 states will not be receiving these abstinence monies, Alaska, Colorado, New Mexico, Tennessee, Virginia, and Washington. And finally, for 2009, another 5 states, Arizona, Delaware, Idaho, Iowa, and Kansas, will not participate in this program, making this opt-out 25 states, fully half of the states in the nation. This slide shows the trend line for turning down these funds. The top is the cumulative states taking. That's the green line. The red line is the cumulative number of states turning down, and the blue line is the trend line for turning down each year. The question we had is, why are states turning down these funds? And I'm just going to roll through these. This is not an insignificant amount of money. This is the money that states would have gotten in 2007 had they taken the Title V abstinence funds. Okay, so we wanted to know why they were turning these down, and we divided the reasons for turning down these funds into 2 different groups, principled rejections and administrative rejections. A principled rejection is for reasons such as an ideological opposition or lack of scientific evidence for the efficacy of the program. And you can see the movement, toward this position following the 2000 release of the Mathematica study. So there are fully 17 states that are rejecting funds on for principled reasons. An administrative rejection is a reason such as a lack of infrastructure or submitting a deficient application, and 8 states are in that category right now. And if I'll just kind of scroll through so you can see which states are doing what in terms of the reasons for turning down these funds. Each state, and John's done some other work, each state, of course, has a very interesting story, and it would be fun to spend a couple of hours on this. This is all principled. This part of the alphabet, and then both administrative and principled. When we analyzed why the states had turned down federal abstinence money, or this type of federal abstinence money, we considered many different variables, and probably the biggest story of our analysis is how many variables we did consider. The major groups were political variables that included partisanship of the legislature, political party of the governor, number of female legislators, number of Planned Parenthood clinics, number of crisis pregnancy centers. So those were some of our political variables, and those are just some of them. So, some of the social variables we looked at were teen pregnancy rates, state educational level, the percentage of the state population that was urban, percentage of population in various racial and ethnic groups. And we also looked at economic variables, or we considered them, families and children, the percentage of families and children living under the poverty line, unemployment, per capita income. What we found in our Loget analysis is that the political variables completely overwhelmed the explanation. The governor's political party, and we measured this, the were the government, governor, Democrat, one, Republican, zero. That was just the binary analysis, not any kind of ideology here. But it turns out the governor's partisanship is the strongest predictor. And if you really go over to the marginal effects, that's the place to look. Planned Parenthood's presence in the state was measured by the number of Planned Parenthood clinics in a state. And the number of abstinence grantees is not surprisingly negatively related to the likelihood of rejecting funding. So where there's an infrastructure of abstinence grantees, there's some effect, although it is not as great as the effect of the partisanship of the governor and the Planned Parenthood infrastructure. And as you can see, none of the social or economic variables are significant. There were a lot more. Okay, the next question we ask was, what factors explain whether the states turned down abstinence funds for principled or administrative reasons? And look, before I just want to back up and say we were able to predict 79% of the cases, so that's a pretty good prediction given the small number of variables we ended up in the model. Okay, so this is looking at the states that did reject. Again, the partisanship of the governor is the strongest predictor. Here, we also found that electoral competition was significant. And electoral competition is how much competition there is between political parties in a state. And that turned out to be important. Where there's more competition between the political parties, the states are more likely to provide a principled reason for rejecting. And as you can see, again here, neither the social nor the economic variables did anything to explain why the states decided to give an administrative or a principled reason for their rejection. Now, this was supposed to be the beginning. We did get funding from our Robert Wood Johnson Center at the University of New Mexico, but have no conflicts of interest. I have to admit I deleted that slide. So in conclusion, states' decisions to reject abstinence-only education are for the most part political decisions. They're driven by partisanship and the relative strength of specific interest groups, specifically Planned Parenthood and the religious right. I think I neglected to say our measure of the religious right was the strength of the religious right within the state Republican Party. Obviously, these decisions are not made to address the relative needs of the state, such as the teen pregnancy rate or the poverty rate.